This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Tuesday, the 7th of November, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. We got a full show, lots to talk about. I spent 3 hours putting together notes for today's show to open today's newspapers and almost decided to throw my whole show away in honor of a new show. But we've got lots to talk about this morning. Let's start the show with our Sand Dollar Live read. The Sand Dollar team is headed to Long Island, November 14th through 17th. On Tuesday, November the 14th at 6 p.m., you can learn about the digital Bahamian dollar at the community meeting held at NGM Major High School. On Wednesday, November the 15th at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., you can experience the Sand Dollar when you attend the team's top-up event at Sunflower Mart in Hamilton, Long Island. Download a Sand Dollar-enabled digital wallet and get a free $20 top-up. Spend $18 or more at Sunflower Mart and get $5 back on exit. And merchants interested in accepting Sand Dollar can schedule a one-on-one meeting by calling 302-9880 or by sending an email to sdau@centralbankbahamas.com. That's SDAU, Sand Dollar Adoption Unit, SDAU at centralbankbahamas.com. Good morning, gentlemen. Joining me in studio, I have Mr. Mark Palmer and I have Mr. C.A. Newry. So let me tell you what story I had lined up. What's next after FTX, right? A timeline of the collapse of the exchange, his arrest, the indictment, the dropping of charges, an extradition order, SBF found guilty. And then I found these interesting stories, one from the 26th of September, 23. Exec, many fintech firms are considering the Bahamas because of regulatory regime. OKX crypto exchange registers under DARE Act, sets up subsidiary. That's the 4th of November of this same month. And OKX says it's committed to the Bahamas, 13th of October, 23.
We must be a good place to do business. And we must have an excellent regulatory regime to enable companies to come and do their thing.
To be excited about coming to do it. I thought this would be the end of cryptocurrency exchanges in the Bahamas for a little while.
You would have thought, right?
Right, but
call it a bump in the road. I mean, it was a pretty big bump in the road. I mean, the thing that shocked me is how quickly that dude was found guilty. I remember the things going on in Grand Bahama like 8 years ago where they still haven't gone to court.
You know,
they get this dude, boom, all the charge by a jury, no less. That's pretty impressive, right?
I mean,
don't you think?
In one sense, it's impressive, but the media coverage, right? Like, this is one of those cases where I could say that there's no juror that wasn't tainted by by media opining, opinions, stories put into the media, all. In fact, the whole, to me, outside of the local journalism space, the local media, Bahamian media, that I think, of course, has an extra interest to ensure that the information is very clear and unbiased, right, considering the Bahamas government's involvement. Most of the stories that I've been able to access online are written like celebrity pieces. Even the reporting coming from some of the...
You mean about SBF?
Yeah, about SBF specifically.
Yeah.
even reporting coming from some of the crypto-centered media spaces and sites, the reporting seems like entertainment news. Now, granted, I haven't paid for Wall Street Journal. I haven't paid for Financial Times, right? Some of the entities that have paywalls.
Well, the thing was so exotic. You know, when you look at the Bernie Madoff thing, right? He ripped off his investors, but it was a straight ripoff.
Yeah.
Right? There was an incredible movie about it and how he got away with it for so long. But SBF, he had all these other things. You know, he had the money laundering that was going through Ukraine back in, he was a big donor. He had, you know, there were so many things going on then a part of that whole network of, you know, these kind of what did they call him? He's part of this network, and the name escapes me for the moment. And there was a whole group of just giving. So, you know,
philanthropic.
There's some kind of, there's a name for it, but there's this movement, and it tended to be, you know, these kind of left-leaning billionaires who wanted to give their money back. And there was just so much about it. And his youth, you know, Madoff was in his 60s. This is a young kid. He's in the Bahamas. He's got a very unusual lifestyle. I mean, it is almost like a Kardashian. You could have done a Kardashian movie about it.
See, but this is the part I don't get, Mark, because from Bankman-Fried showed up at the groundbreaking for the FTX headquarters in mismatched, crumpled blue shorts and T-shirt, dirty white tennis, uncombed, unchecked hair. From that moment, not only did I know, but I declared that there's something wrong here, right? Like, I didn't need...
It didn't add up, right?
Right.
But then look at Richard Branson. He, you know, he's also very unusual, right? Dude got a big beard. He's walking around in flowery shirts. He pushes people into swimming pools, you know, but...
But he presses his shirts.
That's true. He doesn't wear mismatch.
I'm just saying, right? So for me, that was one indicator. What I'm concerned about, though, is how do we... The Bahamas, who just experienced Fyre Festival, how is it that we were caught unaware?
Well, maybe the magic of the Hobbit. He looked like a little Hobbit. You know, there was a, you see on, you know, Tom Brady did this thing on TikTok with him, and he walked off. He looked like a little Hobbit, you know, with his hair, and he looked kind of really cute and had a very curious look about him.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see why it's blown up the way it has. I mean, it is just, it's unbelievable, really, when you look at the whole, from beginning to end.
I mean, it's not unbelievable. This is the part here, right? Like, it's not unbelievable. I'm not stunned. I'm not shocked. But for the fact that so many other people are stunned and shocked, are still taken aback, don't quite know what happened, right? That's the part that has me concerned. Now... Going back to the articles, right, so I asked myself the question, people are actually still operating in this jurisdiction registered under the DARE Act. So I go to the article and I read commentary by OKX executives, right? In fact, I read the wrong date. OKX Crypto Exchange registers under DARE Act, sets up subsidiary. That is actually the 4th of November, 2022. Promising the creation of up to 100 jobs within the next 3 to 5 years for Bahamians in the digital asset space, OKX, the world's second largest crypto exchange, announced its registration as a digital assets business in the Bahamas under the DARE Act. Right? So November 4th would have been right as the collapse, the FTX collapse, was being exposed, right? And I say, okay. They expressed a great degree of confidence in our legislation and the regulatory regime. In fact, Officer Tim Bayan, he's the Global Government Relations Officer, said the Bahamas was the next best choice based on the jurisdiction's strong regulatory framework. Now, by the 13th of October of this year, OKX says it is committed to the Bahamas, right? And I want to take this quote he explained, and we're talking to Mr. Bynum, we're hearing from Mr. Bynum again.
The future of exchanges in the aftermath of the fall of NSA.
That's not him, that's some AI voice. He said he thinks the DARE Act has actually been an understated benefit to the digital assets industry globally. He said OKX has also become an applicant in Dubai, where digital assets are regulated. According to Bayan, OKX has a good relationship with the securities. Don't worry, just keep the volume down. OKX has a good relationship with the Securities Commission of the Bahamas and explained that they interact with them regularly. He explained that OKX was part of the consultative process for the retooled DARE Act. He said the past 9 months, which included the fall of FTX and a crypto winter, has been unfortunate, but he explained that the sector has learned from it. And so that's why they're improving the regulation. I think what's valuable is their approach to learning and getting more information. They are going out publicly on a consultative process. Quote, other regulators might not take that approach. They'll just come out with a rule and that's going to be it. We love the collaborative process, close quote.
So what did, after the fallout, did we look at our regulations?
Well, this is
did
what
we have, I mean, was there kind of an assessment?
Absolutely. And this is what the article is saying, right?
Yeah.
And I've read headlines.
Because I would imagine that would be something you'd look at quick. And did we get a clean?
Well, this is what Bayan is suggesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
That after the fallout, a consultative process was engaged, and actors operating within the jurisdiction and experts outside the jurisdiction have been brought together to assess the existing, well, the regulations as they existed before the amendments, juxtaposed to what happened with FTX,
mm-hmm.
and to determine a better way to go. See, my concern, though, is do you have a mechanism to ensure that those stakeholders, those industry consultants and stakeholders are bridled in their engagement, right? That they also understand the need for ethics on the cutting edge. Because the question is, how many experts do we have in our regulatory system for this very new venture?
Because, you know, there were some red flags. We knew there were a lot of red flags. I mean, post the fallout, you know, things like auditors, you know, they weren't like proper auditors auditing mm-hmm. the business, and they were virtual firms
mm-hmm.
that nobody'd heard of. So there were things that we could have, should have, I imagine we could have or should have picked up. That would have been a red flag. I'm pretty sure in the financial service industry, you know, you have to provide these credentials for your business to operate, and it's very detailed.
Yeah. And I think the global community expects that the same attention to detail that we pay and focus mm-hmm. on traditional financial services would also be applied in this space. So I think the question is not about the intent, right? Whether they our regulatory regime intended, right? It's
yeah.
about whether they have the capacity to move at the pace, right, of the space. I think that's the real question. Do we, as a collective, right, a collective regime, regulatory regime, have the capacity to operate as quickly as necessary to provide oversight? And I think that's the stellar, the number one point raised by mm-hmm. the FTX collapse is whether we have the capacity to provide a regulatory machinery.
That catches these
right.
smaller things.
Can we operate two steps ahead? Do we have the manpower, the trained, skilled manpower? Right, both in the sort of the expertise they've mm-hmm. trained us, but they also have the soft skills necessary to detect, right, to foresee potential issues, because that's what it's going to take to protect the financial services industry. It's not just a matter of responding to problems; it's creating an environment where the problems cannot occur.
Yeah, and crypto seems so much more complicated from the Madoff. But, you know, he was investigated twice. Mm-hmm. So auditors came from the U.S. regulatory bodies to actually went on site, and he was somehow able to divert them or misdirect them, mm-hmm. and or bully them. You know, the younger auditors were able to bully them into giving him a clean record. So even if it happened, you know, that's in the center of the financial world, and it happened there. So there's partly that, you know, when you have these strong personalities and very clever and devious personalities who is lie from morning till night, very hard to deal with, you know, unless you send somebody in extremely knowledgeable with a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. In that sector. And for me, crypto is just so, it feels so complex. It feels like it could slip through your fingers. You know, where are you even going to start looking for these things?
Yep, absolutely. Let me read these, a couple of texts. Ponzi scheme, is that the phrase you were trying to remember? Thank you, Texter. Ponzi scheme. Tech says, Aaron, I asked the same question. What's next of FTX? Not one charge was filed for SBF. I don't know about you, but I've seen a myriad of documentaries online, and everyone said that the Bahamas is a wild, wild west for companies. Mm-hmm. So, Texter, thank you for raising that point. SBF has not been charged locally, right? And so it raises a whole bunch of mm-hmm. questions. You know, the first question is, did he actually commit a crime here? And if he did, right, what are we prepared to do about it?
This is something that was negotiated, and we probably don't know why it happened the way it happened. This was, you know, maybe we were asked to...
Oh, no, I know why it happened.
Oh, okay,
I know why, because we are susceptible, mm-hmm. collectively, individually, we are susceptible to scams.
I see where you're going.
We are here to lick... culture. This is the remnants of the drug era.
Yeah.
It's still right, the dream is still alive that you could hit a lick. We are susceptible to it. I'm gonna continue reading this text. The text says, you obviously don't have any money, you're clairvoyant, mm-hmm. because guys in crypto and tech whom are billionaires, I may add, are usually eccentric and unkempt. There was nothing wrong with SBF wearing shorts. What you need to focus on is the slack and loose oversight by the Securities Commission. So, dear Texter, first of all, perhaps I can invite you to my lair for a drink, because you sound like you are also easily susceptible to Ponzi schemes and things of that nature. I am telling you that anytime anybody come to your country to initiate or engage in a multi-billion dollar initiative, and they'd go to a groundbreaking with all of the prominent, the top people in your country, the richest, the most influential and affluent people, the PM and his delegates, those who he decided needed to be there. And they come to that event in dirty tennis, mismatched short set, not pressed, an unkempt hair, something is wrong.
Well, if you look at the head of Binance, which was like the number two, it's now the biggest after FTX, CJ, as he was called, that dude looks smart. There's no miss. I mean, every hair is in place.
Because this whole...
But he's Chinese. He operates in the Chinese market.
Right, I'm just about to say, this whole...
Chinese-born investor.
Eccentric and unkempt billionaire... This is a Western, global Western culture thing, which I'm going to suggest to you is a scam. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
These guys know exactly what to do and when to do it. I'm just saying to y'all, right? Now, let's get to the other side of the equation, Texter, because I'm not going to leave that unbalanced. I also said on this very same radio that if I were a protocol officer and I had seen SBF once, and I knew what was about to unfold, I would have contacted his people and gotten his size. I'd have figured out what he is most comfortable in and is most inclined to step into in a moment's notice. And I would have made him the coolest Androsia or batik straw ensemble short set. I would have gone and get them by them who making the straw tennis with the Bahamian fabric or print inlay in the tennis. I would have presented him.
That's called a makeover, right?
With it.
Mm-hmm.
Right as he's getting out of his limo. And I would have shown him, Sam, don't make me bribe, have to bribe you out here today. But you need to put on these clothes. That's what and I was going to look at my prime minister and I was going to say, dear prime minister, you could fire me when we get back to the office. You fire me then. Okay? But wake the play. Get this young man to change his clothes right now. This is a Western cultural thing. We have to make a cultural shift. We got to get out of this get rich quick hit a lick culture. And we have to do it, most importantly, to encourage our leaders to shift this culture also. That's it. Yes, Texter, you are right. If I were a billionaire, I think I would be doing the show from in the studio. I'd be doing the show up in the International Space Station every day, looking down at the Bahamas, looking down at y'all. That's what I'd do if I was a billionaire. I'd be a petty, jealous god if I was a billionaire. We're going to make a transition. I got another story I really want to talk about. It's in today's Tribune. It's a particularly serious story. I just saw it this morning, but I think we need to touch on it. Claim dead prisoner was beaten, dismissed. Pneumonia was cause of death, says Monroe. Now, we'll read a bit from it, because it concerns me what I hear when I'm reading. And maybe I'm hearing the wrong thing when I'm reading. But here we go. National Security Minister Wayne Monroe dismissed the family's claim that their loved one appeared to have been beaten to death in person when they viewed his body. He said the inmate's death was due to pneumonia and his body probably deteriorated while in the morgue. I'm going to repeat that. The Minister of National Security said the inmate's death was due to pneumonia and his body probably deteriorated while in the morgue. Mr. Monroe told the Tribune yesterday that 38-year-old Javon Charlow had been in the Bahamas Department of Correctional Services since March. He said Javon was charged with assault with a deadly weapon and threats of death. On July 11th, Javon was admitted to Princess Margaret Hospital for medical assistance. He was later pronounced dead on July 19th, 8 days later. Colin Sweeting, the uncle of Javon, told this newspaper that his family has spent more than $8,000 to get answers on Javon's death. Mr. Sweeting said he didn't find out his nephew was dead until August, after persistent inquiries with officials. Mr. Sweeting noted Javon's body was identified by a picture by the family. He claimed there were marks and bruises on Javon's face, consistent with being hit or physically hurt. Mr. Sweeting said authorities are now operating based on a physical check of the body rather than an autopsy. That's what Mr. Sweeting said. When asked about the family's speculations that Javon's death was caused by him being beaten up rather than having pneumonia, Mr. Monroe dismissed the claims. Mr. Monroe said a photo was taken of Javon when he died, which showed no evidence of bruises or trauma to his face. Quote, the fellow went to hospital because he was suffering from pneumonia, Mr. Monroe said. Quote, he died as a result of that. His face was in perfect condition, and on the day of his death, a photo was taken, and his body must have deteriorated in the morgue, close quotes. Mr. Monroe said Javon's body was at the morgue for several months. He added there were also some refrigeration issues at the morgue. I want to stop talking and reading, but I got to read the entire thing. Let me read the entire thing.
Wow.
When you die, there are changes to your body. So if the refrigeration doesn't work perfectly, your body will decompose, close quotes. Although Mr. Sweeting claimed his family was trying to cover Javon's bail before his death. That's a complete sentence. I don't know what happened there. Mr. Monroe said there was no record of anyone visiting or putting anything at the gate for Javon when he was at BDCS from March to July. He said that Javon was living under the dock when police initially arrested him. I just want to just say out loud that this is just getting worse and worse as I read it. It's just getting worse and worse as I read it. He said that Javon was living under the dock when police initially arrested him. When Javon died, the prison sent welfare workers to the dock in hopes of finding his family. Quote, I can tell you we have a load of people in the facility whose family doesn't really check for them. Close quotes, he added. I just want to publicly say I'm sticking a pin right there.
So hang on, he was under the dock, but he was with guns
and threats of
and
death.
Threats of death.
Let's just stick a pin, Mark. Let's stick a pin. I want to read the article in its entirety. Mr. Monroe, well, let me repeat the last sentence. Quote, I can tell you we have a load of people in the facility whose family doesn't really check for them. Close quotes, he said. Mr. Monroe said the prison now has video visitations which can be used from the comfort of one's home, saying there's no excuse for people not to visit their family. We're going to stick a pin right there as well. Our experiences, especially for homeless people and people who are sent to the facility who were picked up off the streets, quite often they don't really have anyone checking for them. The family of Javon still wants more answers on his death. Mr. Sweeting said to get a clearer understanding of how Javon died, the family commissioned an independent pathologist from the United States to examine Javon's body. However, one day before the pathologist was scheduled to arrive in the country, Mr. Sweeting said the coroner informed them an inquest had to be conducted. Stick a pin there. Quote, we're awaiting permission from the coroner to permit the examination from the pathologist. Where is the body being stored while you waiting for permission from the coroner to permit the examination? That's me. That's my commentary. Return to the story. I'll repeat the last sentence I read from the story. Quote, we are awaiting permission from the coroner to permit the examination from the pathologist. That's all we want. Either it's what I'm thinking or it's what they're saying. And if that's what it is, wouldn't an autopsy discover and reveal everything that there is to know? Close quotes, Mr. Sweeting said. Mr. Monroe added that the Minister of Health and Wellness, Dr. Michael Darville, had approved for the pathologist to come in and perform the autopsy on behalf of the family. I needed to read this story out loud. I just want to say that I am measuring my words so that I speak not just respectfully, but responsibly.
I feel for that family. Can you imagine if you were in his uncle's footsteps? Having to go through all of this, spend that money, and it seemed with the very little accountability, transparency.
First of all, it's 2023. Why are there still issues with refrigeration at the morgue? Let's just put this point on the table. Stop requiring us to refer to y'all as honorable if you just refuse to do the honorable thing. This government is not your prize. This country is not your treasure. This is not your birthright. We don't belong to you. You belong to us. And it's 2023, and we, the citizenry, are forced to sit back every day and watch the pomp and pageantry and the self-accolades and the puffing up of the chest and the demand of respect and honor to the office, while those who fill the office disrespect it on a daily basis. It's 2023 and people cannot die in dignity. Your families cannot honor their loved ones respectfully. And y'all say that y'all revere the church, the Christian church, but you have no regard or respect for any of the rights that come with it. R-I-T-E-S, rights. So, the point that you made, Mr. Palmer, let's start here. Mr. Monroe told the Tribune yesterday that 38-year-old Javon Charlo had been in the Bahamas Department of Correctional Services since March. He said Javon was charged with assault with a deadly weapon and threats of death. So, a deadly weapon doesn't mean a gun. Could be a pole. In fact, anything can become a deadly weapon once you use it to inflict grievous bodily harm. Yeah.
He didn't specify what that deadly weapon was. So there's a lot of missing information, what it appears to be. And, you
right.
know, when you look at the, you know, things can go wrong. It could be a homeless person, no known last address, no, you know, so they, it could be one of those perfect storms where a whole lot of things went wrong. But once the, you know, the descendants are, or the relatives are notified, then that process should move very quickly and the answer should be given very quickly instead of comments in the press. You know, that just inflames the situation. It doesn't really help.
Yeah, at all.
I mean, the fact that it had to come into the press shows there's something seriously wrong, right?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stick a pin. I want to get back to it right after this caller. Thank you for holding, caller. Good morning. You're on the clock. Caller, you still there? My apologies, caller. I had to read. I felt the need to read the article in its entirety, right? I want to go through the whole thing. I have a concern. Why not an autopsy? Why not clarify it all with an autopsy? And when was the minister appointed a coroner? When mm-hmm. did he qualify to conduct mm-hmm. autopsies? When did he qualify to give reports of this nature? See, this is very concerning to me. Quote from the minister, the fellow went to hospital because he was suffering from pneumonia. Mr. Monroe said he died as a result of that. His face was in perfect condition, and on the day of his death, a photo was taken. Well, I've watched enough Law and Order, Criminal Intent, NCIS, JAG, to know that bruising may appear hours to days after the death. So the validity of your summation is dependent on when the photo was taken. And since you say that there are issues with refrigeration in the morgue, then fluctuating temperatures would also impact the rate at which the bruising may or may not have shown up. But what I'm saying is neither you nor I are coroner, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we speaking about it?
Mm-hmm. You're asking questions.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Because all I have left is speculation.
Mm-hmm.
I grip onto that. Producer, let's go to this next call. Oh, okay, let's see what's happening. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Green.
Good morning, sir.
And to your guest, am I on the clock?
Yes, sir, you are on the clock.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Aaron Green, what we need to do at this time in our country, we need to stop most of the speculating and the guessing and stuff. We need to get the reporters off them bougie seats they on and send them wherever we need to send them to investigate, to find out what is going on. Now, I will tell you, I frequent the hospital 3 times a week, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There was a Haitian lady. I know her very well. She came out the back of the morgue area screaming, shouting. We couldn't control her.
Mm-hmm.
And when she told us what was happening in the back there, she said her loved one was practically eaten dead by rats.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, let's pause for a second. That's just a visceral response. Yeah. Thank you, caller.
You're welcome.
Because this is not the first major complaint raised in the public domain about the facilities at PMH. It's 2023. It's 2023. See, because what I can tell you is, let's get a refund on all the dual carriageways. Get a refund, because we don't know how to use them properly. Get a refund on the dual carriageways and put that money into the hospital. Because some people think a dual carriageway is to provide a lane for you to go around them while they're on their phone, driving at 7 miles an hour because they want to be safe while they're making this call. Just turn all of them in, get a cash exchange. And then all the stop signs, collect them, and let's just melt them. This is a good move, producer. Let's just melt them for scrap. And all the stop signs, and melt them for scrap, right? And then take all the street lights, break up the colored plastic, and sell them to the Junkanoo people for baubles. Because they mean nothing to us. You just wasting money. Put that money into the hospital, the PMH one, so poor people could have a chance at living. You know, we all dying, but at least let the poor people have a chance at living. Thank you, producer. Play that music again. That's the best move I've made all day. We got to go to a break. I'm going to calm down a little bit. We're going to read these texts. And we're going to end the show on a more positive note. You're On the Clock with Erin Green. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The holiday season is upon us, and everyone's going to be looking for those special items on their gift list. Merchants, here's your opportunity to have your products placed in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. This year, shoppers are going to be searching for perfect presents at the right price. Anything from a family island weekend getaway to electronics, jewelry, and even clothes. Santa Claus is coming to town. For one low price, you can have your ads published twice this December in the Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Deadline for registration is Wednesday, November 30th. Be sure to contact your Nassau Guardian sales agent or call the Nassau Guardian directly at 302-2300. Be sure to ask about our 15-30-second Christmas radio commercial bonanza.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The Nassau Guardians Holiday Gift Guide. Our gift to you. Because Christmas is...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're On the Clock with Erin Green. The numbers to call 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720 for our Family Island residents. You're in the Bahamas but not in New Providence. 242-300-5720 is the number for you. 422-GR96, 422-4796 is the text line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Erin. How you doing? Good morning, Bama.
Good morning.
Yeah, Erin, what you talking about? You talking about autopsy or you talking about a topic?
We're talking about the autopsy, sir. Because all the texts about that right now. All the texts. We finished talking about SBF. We finished talking about how people get swung easily in the Bahamas because we have a collective cultural issue. But that's what I want to talk about. That's what, all I can talk about right now. I got about 12 texts I want to read.
But it was in a newspaper, this story.
Yes, it's in today's Tribune. Claimed dead. Prisoner was beaten, dismissed. Pneumonia was cause of death, says Monroe.
Well, it's up to the family member to have a lawyer, eh?
Yeah, you know, that's true. Thank you, Pumpkin Eater, you said that, because the government have a lawyer.
Right.
Mr. Defense, right. A.K.A. the Minister of National Security. I want to ask the question, why is he so defensive? Because I would have expected him to say, we are aware of the claims made by the family. We are actively and currently investigating
those claims. We take them seriously.
We take them seriously. We understand the sanctity of life and death.
And we will meet with the family shortly to allay any of their fears.
Right, but
that's politics. This was a political...
To suggest that the family didn't care about him anyway. In fact, y'all don't care about homeless people anyway. Why, you know, it just suggests that he's being far too defensive. And again, he needs to revisit his current employment. He's no longer a defense lawyer. His job is to defend the people of his constituency. That's what it is.
Let's go to the Minister of Security, the security part of it.
Pardon?
He also is the Minister of Security, right?
Yeah.
Right, so you got to defend that too.
Yeah, but who's securing the bodies?
That's
his expertise is needed there.
Right, yeah.
And this is not a one-time thing. I can I go to sleep hearing the stories about family members in Abaco. being put through this weird process of identifying family members without being able to see the bodies. This is like, do we understand the psychological violence of forcing people to acknowledge your narrative as reality with the, when their lived experience opposes that? Mm-hmm. Maybe Pumpkin Eater Lumber?
Yeah, I'll have to do my investigation on it,
mm-hmm.
too, and see what I see what's going on with this story.
Let's encourage the government to let the coroner
right.
and the pathologists do their investigation, more importantly.
I'm hoping during the week, as we get closer, we'll talk for the convention.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
sir. Thank you very much.
All right.
All right. Let's go through these texts. That call is correct. That story is worth an investigation. These reporters need to get out and do the footwork. The question is, who is an investigative journalist and who is just a reporter, right? And there's a big mm-hmm. difference, and it requires a whole bunch of other resources. Another text, blessings, Lady Green and Brother Mark Palmer. After Lady Green read that text on that madness, what Mr. Monroe said, and knowing all the sick realities, how the government and its law enforcement offices, hospitals, and judiciary treats poor black people, I've officially made up my mind to, one, leave my country, the Bahamas, behind, and I may not even tell my future children and grandchildren of their Bahamian heritage. The way this sick system operates in the Bahamas, it doesn't deserve to have my future children or grandchildren. You hear what you said just now? I feel mm-hmm. in you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that this has nothing to do with migration. But I just want you all, when you're all thinking in your head, why would Haitians get on a boat with their children and sail to another place? Because they cannot imagine their descendants being trapped mm-hmm. in that place. And they feel that it is a duty, like, to prevent it from happening. But your sentiments, sir, what are poor people to make of their life here? Good morning, Aaron. If the morgue is having issues, wouldn't they want to expedite the autopsy? Maybe they're waiting for the body.
Mm.
Yeah. Thank you, Texter. You know, there are two types of people in the world.
What's that?
Those who can extrapolate data. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We weren't going there, but.
Another text. Good day. Why y'all beating up my good cousin, Mr. Monroe? I understand he is very dry. In his defense, I think he's just stating the law of the land in a non-biased tone. Now it's us, the electorate, who need to have our passions lit to move the government to change the laws we think do damage to our culture. See, some of that was just reading the law, but some of it was just, what they call it? It's
arrogance? Sorry.
No, you know, in the courtroom, there's obiter, right? There's the judge makes commentary that's directly related to the case, and then there's, mm-hmm. like, I think obiter, that's like side commentary. There's a lot of side commentary in the article, sir, and I don't think we could deny that. And I think in defense of the minister, we just say to him, sir, do you hear it? And can you work on it, please? You're one of the smartest among us, eh?
Mm-hmm.
We need sure. you. I mean, you need us more than we need you, but we need you. We have to find balance in this relationship. Let's go to the caller, producer. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning. How you do?
My name is Colin Sweeting, Collingwood Sweeting.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you? First of all, we just want to say that we know that this is a heavy time. And if I've said anything that's offensive or that has caused more strife, I apologize. But let's be measured, sir. Let's be measured in our speech and let's not...
Understood.
Yeah.
Understood. Really.
Yeah.
Really. The time and place for everything.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I just caught a little bit of the show when I got into the vehicle to drive towards my mother.
Yes, sir.
Who's visiting from the U.S. also.
Yes, sir.
To work along with getting answers.
Yes, sir.
Devon Chalo was never homeless. He always had a home. Listen, I didn't hear the comments or anything, but I'm just responding to what I heard, what I overheard from you. Now, he would not leave his family. We've tried to get him to relocate, to earn a better living, to do better, to be better, to be among his family abroad. And he refused to leave his children. So that's the kind of person he was. Pneumonia? He never had pneumonia, ever. Never had. Now, all of this talk and this back and forth and all of this nonsense, all we want is the truth. Now, if what they're saying and what they're alleging and what they're talking and trying to convince everybody of, then let them work with that. But the facts are that an autopsy will reveal. Listen, people are exhumed bodies to do an autopsy, so let them do whatever they want to do. Because they have done worse than actually murdering him. And that the story gets worse, you know. Half of it hasn't even got out yet. The story gets worse.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, listen, we stand with you and your family. We hope that justice is achieved, that what has happened will be fully revealed to you, and that you can lay his spirit to rest, lay his body to rest, you know.
I thank you.
With strength and the knowing that you now have him and you could keep him safe, you know,
yes,
in your hearts.
Yes,
and yes, sir.
Because those that would take people from the streets and put them where they want to put them and do whatever they want to do, they seem to have total autonomy, and it's only the little man that is held accountable for his actions.
Yes, sir. That's what it appears to be every day. I want to thank you, sir, Mr. Sweeting, for calling in and sharing with us and reminding us, right, that we all, no matter the circumstance you find us in, we all have inherent dignity and divinity, and we must all regard and engage each other with that understanding. Thank you so much, Mr. Sweeting. That's gonna end the show. I just got one or two more texts. The text says, ever since Juan and the revolution abdicated his throne as leader of the Fourth Estate, regarding keeping both parties accountable, there has been a notable decline in journalism, investigative or otherwise, but we just love to talk, so these new talk shows are serving their purpose, I suppose. Dear Texter, we're going to end it here. I am not a reporter. I'm not on The Guardian's payroll to report stories. I have a one-hour show, and then I have to figure out how I'm going to generate sufficient revenue to survive with the rest of my day. I am not an investigative reporter. I'm not a journalist. I am a media personality, an advocate, and a social commentator that runs a talk show. I do my best. And we will all do our best to moderate our behavior and put as much positive into the public domain as possible, to do as much as we can for each other as possible. All we have to commit to is operating with empathy and spatial awareness, and everything else will fall into place. Because then we will know how to do what we know we ought to do when we know we ought to do it. I want to say thank you to Mr. Palmer. Thank you to all of the callers, the texters. I didn't get to all of the texts. Okay, and the texter who I likened his sentiment to the Haitian migrant situation said, my Haitian brothers and sisters who want a better future should sail or fly straight past this place that mistreats poor black people. They too deserve better than this system. Thank you, Texter. We end the show right there. Stay tuned, though, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next. And then following that is The Foundation with Howard Grant. You guys, stay tuned. It's a full day of entertainment, smart talk, fresh news all day.